morning or afternoon or whenever you're listening to this. This is Sunday, November 3rd, 2013, and this is Not Half Bad, the podcast covering Rutgers and St. John's basketball. We almost have a season to talk about, and actual games have happened.
There were real games.
Real games. I'm Norman Rose, one of your hosts. I represent Rumble in the Garden, covering St. John's basketball. You can find me on Twitter at RumbleSBN.
And I'm Dave White of OnTheBanks.com, which is the Rutgers blog. And you can find me on Twitter at Dave_White. I forgot the underscore last week when I re-listened.
Oh, man, there's some Dave White out there getting tweets that they just did not want to hear.
Yeah, he's a British guy or an English guy out there, and he doesn't care about Rutgers basketball.
It's terrible when, you know, all the Rutgers female fans want to, you know, go through you to get to the players, and they send pictures of their underwear.
Yeah, that would be weird.
I'm sorry for you, Dave White. That should have gone to Dave. I couldn't keep a straight face on that one anymore.
So we had basketball.
We had actual basketball, yes. St. John's had their exhibition yesterday afternoon, and that was interesting. And Rutgers,
say the least.
Yes, and Rutgers played Caldwell College on what, Friday?
Friday night.
That
was a blowout. That was what it should have been. So,
Is Caldwell College Division III?
They're D2.
Okay. How were they last year?
Caldwell?
Yeah.
Wow, you're challenging me. I have no idea how Caldwell
was. Who doesn't scout their Division II opponents? You have to know when LeMoyne is coming. Come on.
Let me see if I can find it real quick. But
for those who don't know what I'm referring to, LeMoyne College is a small college in Syracuse that played Syracuse University. This is like 2 or 3 years ago, and knocked them off in a nationally televised preseason game. You know, great pub for LeMoyne, very embarrassing for Syracuse. Syracuse still made the Sweet 16. So as we know, exhibition games don't mean that much, but still, it's a little embarrassing when your team plays it a little too close to a Division II opponent.
That's right. Caldwell was bad. They were 8-20.
Oh, well.
In Division II. So they were pretty much a D3 team.
Mm-hmm.
So, but 5-5 in non-conference, including wins over University of Bridgeport and Dowling College.
Ooh.
And Felician.
Ooh. Did they play the University of, is it the University of the District of Columbia? I forget how one says that.
Let's see.
We're going too deep on Caldwell College here.
It does not. No, they lost to Assumption College.
Oh, you can never assume when you're playing.
Yeah, I was looking for that joke too.
it's really too bad, just as a complete aside, that neither of the programs that we follow are playing Incarnate Word or Abilene Christian, because I think we could have some good jokes about those schools.
Oh, plenty of puns. They're no good. I don't think either of our teams are playing really good pun schools.
No.
But yeah, so Rutgers played Caldwell. And as you would expect, they played like a team with a lot of talent, but a new coach and a new system.
Mm-hmm.
So they won 90-60. So that's good because they put up 90 points. Seton Hall played Caldwell College the next day and only won by 18, and I think only put up 59 points or something like that.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Fuquan Edwin didn't play, but Rutgers was still without Junior E2. He still hasn't been cleared, so Junior couldn't play.
Mm-hmm.
But Miles Mack scored 16, and J.J. Moore scored 14.
Mm-hmm.
They really looked – I mean, again, it's Caldwell College, so what am I going to say? But on the positive side, they really got out and ran and didn't – you know, they filled the lanes well. Under Mike Rice, it was – fast breaks were a problem in the worst way. They held onto the ball too long. They didn't fill the lanes. They didn't take the right – bad spacing, yeah. Yesterday or Friday, they were able to do that. Plenty easy baskets, not many blown layups. A couple of bad outlet passes that turned into turnovers. They had 20 turnovers. But the fast break really was working for them. So that was good. Some unselfish passes. The half court offense still needs work.
Who impressed you the most?
Mac. It was his usual self. I'm trying to think. J.J. Moore scored 14. He was, I thought he was really solid and savvy.
Mm-hmm.
He took a couple threes, and they were smart threes. He just seemed really, again, you watch these games and you take it with a grain of salt, but subbing in J.J. Moore for Eli Carter meant a couple of extra passes, a nice alley-oop dunk, and a smart threes. Nothing seemed forced. Mm-hmm. I was sitting at because it was open seating, I was sitting at an angle that was different than I usually sit. So it was hard to get that view from just above the court.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't really get too many, get really intricate in how they were running sets.
Mm-hmm.
But, Moore was probably the most impressive new face to me. I like Kerwin Okoro, too. He seemed savvy.
Awesome.
He's a little out of control, but he seemed he got himself open a bunch of times, and he's big. He's a nice big body. He played some solid defense.
Very cool.
So that was good. On the downside, Rutgers tried to press a ton, and it's probably not good when Caldwell College can shred your press. Lots of open layups, lots of backdoor cuts for Caldwell. That's how they generated most of their offense.
Okay. Do you think it was a problem with the press itself or just with the experience of the players?
I think it was the experience of the players pressing and knowing where to be. Jordan, I hate to say yelling because Eddie Jordan didn't raise his voice once, mm-hmm. but he did have to keep telling the players where they should be, especially across the half court. The two guards seemed to be out of their spots a lot.
Okay.
So it seemed more like, let's figure out how we're doing this rather than, this press is just a terrible press.
Okay.
So, but, that was the biggest downside. The press got, in the first half especially, really got shredded. And I tend to wonder how much the second team's going to be able to score when Mack and Seekers are off the court.
But, I think that should be expected. Given the talent on Rutgers, I don't know that that's going to be a team where a couple of guys are going to be logging 35 minutes a night, or at least as much as they can handle, given their conditioning.
Yeah. So those are the big things. You won by you did what you wanted to do. You put up a lot of points, and you won by 30.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of stepped on their throats. The big news was Greg Lewis started, and he was a captain over Wally Judge.
Mm-hmm.
So the sophomore, Jordan really seems to like Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave him a captainship because Jordan said he wanted some continuity.
Does that mean that he gets a nice hat? Does he get to tell everybody what they eat on the team bus?
I believe he drives the bus.
Oh,
captain. But, I don't know. That was the big news of the night. Jordan really just wanted – the kid hadn't played in a year, so Jordan wanted to get him in, and so he told Judge he was going to sit, but Judge should be back starting on Friday.
Okay. How did Judge look?
He looked like Wally Judge. Okay. Couple nice dunks. nothing stood out to me. He didn't take any dumb shots.
Mm-hmm.
Kadeem Jack showed a nice fadeaway jumper.
Woo.
Yeah,
he's 6 foot eight. Should he be having a fadeaway jumper?
Probably not.
Kobe?
It'd be nice.
that would be nice. Yeah.
I'd take a Kobe type player.
Yeah, but not in your power forward spot.
Yeah, no, everybody, it was kind of balanced scoring. Beyond, there was four guys in double digits, Jack, Moore, Seegers, and Miles.
Mm-hmm.
Their 3-point shooting wasn't good. They shot 5 of 16.
Okay.
But their free throws was pretty good. They shot 77%, and they dominated rebounding on a really tiny team.
Mm-hmm.
Judge brought in 10, so he had the most. Mm-hmm. But he only scored 2 points. So yeah, or 6 points. Sorry, he had 2 fouls. I can't read this box score. I have back into basketball here.
It's preseason for everyone, keep saying.
You would think they would put points either last or first in a box score, but it's kind of hidden in the middle.
Yep.
TP.
TP.
Yeah, and the assists and turnovers wasn't good. They're 15 assists and 20 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your negatives. But regular season starts on Friday, and as Jordan said after the game, hopefully they got the bad stuff out. He was not happy,
mm-hmm.
Which I compared to Eddie Jordan being not happy compared to Mike Rice after the biggest win of his career, demeanor wise. So
Mike Rice got excited. Let's not hate on him that much. He did get excited.
It was like Eddie Jordan's upset. Ooh, look, a pretty sunrise.
Yeah. Eddie Jordan upset is probably more like, Mike Rice after a 3-point win.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy. Still happy. He barely stood up. he sat the whole time.
I don't know. I don't think he's showing enough energy. He's got to show more fire.
That's what when he gets fired, that'll be the big outcry. Because mm-hmm. everyone will have forgotten. So St. John's won by 2.
Yeah. This is not half bad. The podcast covering Rutgers and St. John's basketball, and we're done. Okay, no, all right.
I now, even texted you last night.
I know.
I never comment on Rumble in the Garden. I even commented on Rumble in the Garden.
Yeah, it was pretty,
What?
Well, let me explain. So last night, St. John's played San Francisco State, one of the schools that Steve Lavin went to. And from early on, it seemed like, you know, the Johnnies had struggled a little bit getting into rhythm. And then they seemed to, you know, take control of things. But throughout the whole game, San Francisco State was getting a lot of clear three-point shots. On the night, they shot nine, or on the afternoon, they shot 9 of 16 from beyond the arc. That's like 56%.
But that's only 18 points. They still scored 61 more points somehow.
That's 27 points. And sorry. And they but they also they also got to the rim very readily. And the Johnnies at times were just indifferent on defense and sometimes just a little confused on defense. It was pretty obvious early on that the defensive press was just not, when it didn't force turnovers, it really struggled. Like, the Johnnies had a zone in the center, in the paint, on defense, where they were very effective. If they could funnel a San Francisco State player into there, mm-hmm. you know, they were golden. You know, basically, they forced turnovers. They didn't deflect a lot of shots. And
the rest of the time on defense, they just stepped off the court to talk to Lavin? Is that what happened?
It seems so. I mean, there are definitely guys who played a little farther off the three-point shooters. They didn't bother the three-point shooters enough, even though they were playing man-to-man defense. And I don't know if it's a defensive intensity thing or if it's just – I don't know. I mean, it just seemed like they – as a defensive unit, they weren't particularly cohesive because – you know, defending a three-point shooter isn't just like, oh, I got my hand up in front of the guy. If the guy who's shooting the three-pointer is set and he gets the ball in rhythm and, you know, he knows what he's doing, just having a hand up, yeah, it's kind of annoying, but it's not like really, you know, disturbing. You have to bump the guys as they're trying to make their cuts and get into the places that they want to get to. You want to break up their timing and rhythm, and St. John's didn't do that very well at all.
It sounds like St. John's was using the I'm not touching you defense. They're just being annoying. I'm not touching you.
Yeah, it was very much like that, like a fear of hand checks or something. Jamal Branch picked up a few fouls. But other than that, I don't think any – oh, no. And Rishi Jordan as well mm-hmm. picked up, I think, 4 fouls. But other than that, I don't think that many of the guys got into deep foul trouble. And sometimes you were kind of like, I don't know. Like, Sir Dominic Poynter had no fouls.
Okay.
Which feels, as a defensive stopper, that feels a little, I don't know, a little suspect. I'm not saying that, you know, a player should go out there and try and get fouls. But it says something when a very physical guy manages to end a game with no fouls.
Well, let me ask you, because they didn't really overcall in the Caldwell game, it didn't feel like, but reports were that in Rutgers' scrimmage against St. Peter's earlier in the week, they had 88 free throws because the refs were trying to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you saw the game or were just kind of following. I don't know if it was aired, but
– Oh, no, it was aired. I watched it.
Okay. Were there a lot of fouls being called? Were they trying like not to foul? Like, was that what it was? Or?
I mean, I'd have to rewatch to see if they were trying specifically not to foul. There are definitely some guys, Max Hooper in particular, you know, I would call him out for playing, you know, a good full, like, long step off of his man. I mean, it was the kind of thing mm-hmm. where it's like, man, I might feel open if I were playing against him. You know, because he doesn't really have that kind of foot speed for a guy who drives, so he's just trying to make sure that they don't get into the paint. It's sort of like a man defense with a zone principle, I guess. And a few other guys just managed to get beat off the dribble but didn't, you know, hack. And that's good, but it's weird that there are guys getting beat off the dribble by San Francisco State, you know? So, yeah, overall, it was just I think it's really the defense that was really kind of stunk, you know? They allowed a lot of three-point shots, And when they couldn't force turnovers, they just weren't very good. And honestly, the Johnnies were saved mostly by aggressive offensive rebounding from guys like God's Gift and Orlando Sanchez. And, you know, and I don't mean to say that it's entirely disappointing. There are a lot of good things to have gotten from the game. You know, D'Angelo Harrison came back and dropped 29 points, got to the free throw line 12 times. He was very active. He was trying hard on defense, and you know, he's pretty good when he does.
Did he play with any offense, or was he kind of freelancing?
Oh no, he played mostly within the offense. There were a couple of times where there was one shot in particular where the announcer called out his, you know, he just kind of took the shot because he had a screen, and that's, you know, it kind of what he was supposed to do, but it wasn't. But generally, he was trying to play within the offense. He was trying to move the ball around. Not trying to, you know, two dribble and shoot all the time. So I don't know. I mean, it was interesting. Rashid Jordan was very good in his debut. He scored 16 points, and in the second half seemed pretty effective. He hit a three. He got some rebounds. He was pretty. He looked athletic. He looked like a difference maker. Orlando Sanchez was particularly impressive. He scored 9 points, 10 total rebounds, with 3 turnovers. 4 assists, 2 blocks, and 4 steals.
4 assists for a big man is good.
He even ran the court a couple of times, ran the break a couple of times as a point guard.
As a point guard?
Pretty much. I mean, like, wow. he just took the lead in the fast break. No. And, you know, there's a certain point where, you know, he would get inside the arc and you'd be like, give it up, give it up. Because he doesn't stop that well, but he was pretty good.
Is he kind of like more like one of those hybrid step out power forwards?
Yeah, I mean, he did shoot a three. He knows how to play inside, but he just has a little bit of every skill.
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, so those are three really nice standouts. I think God's Gift to Chua showed some good effort inside on the glass. He ended up with 9 rebounds total, 4 offensive, which was his strength when he played 2 years ago. You know, he didn't look great, you know, and there were definitely rebounds that, you know, you're watching and you think, I don't know, a different forward with a better sense of timing and positioning would have gotten to those, but he wasn't bad.
I mean, in a game like that, I mean, again, it's a grain of salt, and they got the win. So, I mean, didn't Syracuse lose to, like, Bethune-Cookman or something like
LeMoyne.
That?
LeMoyne, we were talking LeMoyne. About LeMoyne.
Oh, I'm not with it at the moment. I don't know what it is.
Man, you don't even remember what I said. Who am I? Do you even know who I am?
You're storming, Norm. I'm sure you get called that all the time.
Yeah, and I'm about to reach through this through the computer and slap
back. Sorry.
Let me also talk about the downsides here too. Jakarr Sampson went 1 for 8 from the field. He did attempt 4 threes, which is good for his pro stock, but he only made 1 of 4 threes, and he made none of his 2s. He took a bunch of jump shots. He didn't get to the rim. At times, he just looked kind of lost. Jamal Branch had 3 fouls, only played 7 minutes, not sure why.
Were they trying to get
Rashid to play
more of a run?
Maybe, but maybe they just thought that Rashid made more of an influence, you know? And I think he did. And, you know, Rashid was a little tentative early, and then late seemed to really, you know, really just take the team on his back. But you definitely got an aspect of hero ball at times. You know, Phil Green got a couple of shots on his own. Jordan got a couple of shots on his own. And you'd kind of like to see more of, you know, a team concept and good passing.
Yeah. That hero ball will kill you in conference. Especially in a conference like the Big East. Hero ball is not, unless you got a dominant player, which Harrison thinks he's one, but I don't think he's, like, he can be off on a night, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Harrison is still so far defensible. He's a guy that Georgetown was very good at forcing him left, where he's not as good, and they're long enough to bother him when they force him left. And that's what made them so effective against him. You know, tall defender, force him left, and you've got it. And other than that, you know, the assist to turnover ratios were a little poor. Johnny's had 11 assists, 18 turnovers. A lot of those were unforced, just bad passes and stupid attempts.
Yeah. So who's the best player on the court? for St. John's? Who impressed you? Oh, okay, because
I was going to say it was San Francisco State's what's that guy, Nefi Perdomo, who sat out last year with an injury and scored 23 points on the Johnnies. He went 4 of 7 from outside the arc. But no, I would say actually the best player on the court was probably D'Angelo Harrison because he couldn't be stopped late.
Oh, good. Yeah. And they won. He hit the shot with what, like 20-something seconds left?
17 seconds left, or 16.7 yeah. seconds left.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It just amazed me. It amazed me that it came down to that for St. John's and, yeah. and at Seton Hall kind of struggled a little bit with Caldwell.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of the
Big East basketball.
A lot of these teams, though, it's really an effort to just get into rhythm and to figure out where the kinks are and to remind the players that, you know, these are real games. You can't just turn it on one day. Yeah. You have to go out there and you have to play with effort, you know. And, you know, I think Sir Dominic Poynter said something to that effect, after the game. He said that, yeah, we played horrible defense and they got too many easy open shots. They came ready to play. This let us know that we have to come ready to play and play hard every time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. And I think what it says about St. John is, except for Jordan, these guys have played together for 3 years, so they're not getting up for San Francisco State. Whereas Rutgers, it's almost a brand new team. Mm-hmm. You know, they were probably excited to actually be on the court and you know, play a real game. Mm-hmm. So I think there's something to be said for that experience and kind of sleepwalking through because, you know, it doesn't count.
Sure. I mean, and the good thing for St. John's is that they have another preseason game on Monday against Humboldt State. Humboldt.
They're so proud. Mm-hmm.
The Lumberjacks.
Well, you don't want another 2-point win there.
No, you don't. I mean, they're also Division II, so you never know. They could be tough.
Nope, you never know.
So I don't know. In all, it was sort of a one of those like wins, and I think it's good too for maybe the fans and the team people that follow St. John's to remember that this is a team that went 17-16 last year. This is a team that, you know, at times really struggled with their cohesiveness and their ability to score. And this is a team that takes not great shots. They take a lot of jump shots and they don't get inside the paint, which was a problem again yesterday.
Yeah. But basketball is here.
Basketball is here.
So I'm excited. Next week we can talk about real games, right?
We can try. What is Rutgers' first game?
Friday night against Florida A&M.
Ooh.
Big home game.
Awesome. And St. John's has a game against Wisconsin Friday night out in Ooh. South Dakota.
Ooh, that'll be nice. That'll be a nice 54-52 score.
I don't know. I mean, that's a very exciting clash of styles. You've got, you know, the slowdown Wisconsin and the go-go St. John's, the very disciplined Wisconsin and the very, you know, athletic and chaos creation of St. John's. I think it'll be pretty interesting to see which team can impose their will on the other. You know, one would think it would be Wisconsin, but this might be, you know, if St. John's gets out a few times, this could be a bad matchup for them.
It could. I mean, I think everybody's urge. I don't know enough about Wisconsin this year, and Bo Ryan's always good, and he always slows down, and he's a great coach. But if I don't know if it's a team he's had together for a long time, in which case they'll play their roles, or if it's a new team for him, they might get drawn into a you know, kind of run and gun the first time around, and that could get him in trouble. Okay, so this has been Not Half Bad, and I am Dave White of OnTheBanks.com, which covers Rutgers football and basketball.
And
you can find me at Twitter at Dave_White.
And this is Norman, who sometimes steps on Dave's toes. I write mostly basketball for Rumble in the Garden, covering St. John's, but we do soccer and some other sports as well. You can find us at rumbleinthegarden.com, or you can find me on Twitter, RumbleSBN, or you can find my more sports feed at ecoastbias. And you can also contact us if you have questions or comments on the podcast at nothalfbadpod@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter at NHBpod.
Just remember, folks, this is preseason for everybody, so we're still getting warmed up, too.